the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. It was not the will of God that the sinless pair should know aught of evil. He had freely given them the good, and had withheld the evil. But, contrary to his command, they ate of the forbidden tree. The disobedience to God's express command opened the floodgates of woe upon our world. The tree of knowledge had been made a test of their obedience and their love to God. Satan could have access to them only at the forbidden tree. Should they attempt to investigate its nature, they would be exposed to his wiles. They were admonished to give careful heed to the warning which God had sent them, and to be content with the instructions which he had seen fit to impart. Filled with enmity against God, Satan lurked in the forbidden tree, making it the field for carrying out his plan to ruin the human race. Appearing to Eve in the form of a serpent, he addressed the woman, saying, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. By partaking of this tree, he declared they would attain to a more exalted sphere of existence, and enter a broader field of knowledge. He himself had eaten of the forbidden fruit, and as a result had acquired the power of speech. He insinuated that the Lord jealously desired to withhold it from them, lest they should be exalted to equality with himself. He said it was because of its wonderful properties for imparting wisdom and power that he had prohibited them from tasting or even touching it. That God had been seeking to prevent them from reaching a nobler development and finding greater happiness. Satan claimed to have received great good by eating of the forbidden fruit, but he did not let it appear that by transgression he had become an outcast from heaven. He concealed his own misery in order to draw others into the same condition. Satan is still doing the same work begun in the Garden of Eden. He is working vigilantly that men may accept his assertions as proof against God. He is working against Christ's efforts to restore the moral image of God in man. By every species of deception, he is endeavoring to induce man to eat of the forbidden tree. He thus tempts man to disobedience by leading him to believe that he is entering a wonderful field of knowledge. But this is all a deception. Elated with his ideas of progression, man is setting his feet in the path that leads to degradation and death. Satan, in a deceptive garb, still lurks in the tree of knowledge. The words of God spoken at creation. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, come sounding along the line of ages to us today, for they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. The Garden of Eden was not only Adam's dwelling, but his schoolroom. As in that school, so in the school of earth today, two trees are planted, the tree of life, which bears the fruit of the true education, the tree of knowledge yielding the fruit of science falsely so called. All who have a connection with Christ have access to the tree of life, a source of knowledge of which the world is ignorant. After sin entered this world, the heavenly husbandman transplanted the tree of life to the paradise above, but its branches hang over the wall to the lower world. Through the redemption purchased by the blood of the Son of God, man may now partake of its life-giving fruit. The tree of knowledge has its roots in the earth, it is of the earth, earthy. All who have tasted of the heavenly fruit, the bread of life, are to be co-workers with God, pointing others from the tree of knowledge to the tree of life, that they also may partake of its fruits. Jesus Christ is to the world as the tree of life to which Adam and Eve had access in the Garden of Eden. When, by disobedience, the fallen pair were deprived of the fruit of this tree, they lost everlasting life. The tree of knowledge became a curse to them, not because of its poisonous qualities, but because of their act of disobedience. It was attractive to them, and in their great desire for it, they partook of it and lost their purity and their allegiance to God. But Christ presents himself as the life-giver, the tree of life for the world. By feeding upon his flesh and drinking his blood, our spiritual life is perfected. Shall the education given in our schools be after God's order, or after the wisdom of this world, which the Lord pronounces foolishness? Shall the hearts of the students become estranged from God by eating of the tree of knowledge, which hardens the heart into disobedience and administers to vanity and pride? Shall not the education given in our schools be of that character which will give a more decided knowledge of God's Word, and which will bring the soul into a vital connection with God, keeping God before the mind's eye, and arousing every better feeling of the soul? This is the kind of education which is as enduring as eternity. There are many beliefs which the mind has no right to entertain. Adam believed the lie of Satan, the wily insinuations against the character of God. It is well and essential to obtain a knowledge of the world in which we live. But if we leave eternity out of our reckoning, we shall make a failure from which we can never recover. It will be as the knowledge gained by eating of the fruit of the forbidden tree. All the speculative opinions which, through the devising of Satan, have been brought into educational work are to be separated from the truth. This was the work of the Redeemer in coming into the world. The opinions and speculations of men had become abundant. They occupied the ground with a multitude of theories which made it difficult to distinguish truth from error. In view of the near coming of Him who is the truth, now of all other times, we are to know the truth, and the truth is to make us free. Obedience to the commandments of God does not bring the soul into bondage. The sayings of Christ have a value above that of silver or gold. All who receive Christ in truth will believe Him. They will see the necessity of having Christ abiding in the heart by faith. They will escape from the control of their hereditary and cultivated tendencies, their pride, vanity, self-esteem, worldliness, and every sin, and will reveal Christ in their lives. If God's Word is eaten as the bread of life, they will become thoroughly aroused to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is God that worketh in them, both to will and to do His own good pleasure. Men must cooperate with God. By obedience to His laws, they must reveal the respect they have for His Word. They will not then disobey the commandments of God, eating of the forbidden tree of knowledge. They will heed the requirements of God. In this, they are eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God, who is represented by the tree of life. Age after age, curiosity of man has led him to seek for the tree of knowledge, and often he thinks he is plucking fruit most essential, when, like Solomon, he finds it altogether vanity and nothingness, in comparison with that science of true holiness, which will open to him the gates of the city of God. Human ambition has been seeking for that kind of knowledge that will bring self-exaltation and glory and supremacy. Thus Adam and Eve were worked upon by Satan, until God's restraint was snapped asunder, and their education under the teacher of lies began, in order that they might have the knowledge that God had refused them, to know the consequences of transgression. The sons of men have had a practical knowledge of evil, but Christ came to the world to show them that He had planted for them the tree of life, the leaves of which are for the healing of the nations. Satan is playing the game of life for every soul that is upon the earth. All who will study and obey the directions of God will have the mind of Christ. Then all passions, all dissensions will be put away. There will be a cultivation of the higher faculties of the mind. It is essential that we gain a knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ whom he has sent. False religion and erroneous educational ideas and sentiments are prevalent. Because there is so little study of the Word, there is with many scarcely any desire to know what saith the Lord. Errors have come in and usurped the place of truth. The wild branch has been grafted in and has borne wild grapes. The result has been centuries of darkness and error. Men have introduced human theories, thinking, as did our first parents, when tempted by Satan to eat of the tree of knowledge, that they would thus become as gods. But these sentiments are not in harmony with the Word. They are false and ruinous theories. The one, the Word of God, is the tree of life. The other is the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge. And all who pluck and eat of this possess a disorderly imagination. We cannot, in this day of peril, accept teachers because they have been in school 2, 3, 4, or 5 years. The question which should decide whether they are qualified for their work should be, have they, with all their acquisition of knowledge, searched the Bible and dug beneath the surface for truth as for hidden treasures? Or have they seized the chaff in the place of the pure wheat, thoroughly winnowed? Are they partakers of the fruit of the tree of life? We cannot consent, at this period of time, to expose our youth to the consequences of learning a mixture of truth with error. The youth who come from school without feeling the importance of making the Word of God the first study, the main study, above every science and educational lines, are not qualified in these days of peril to enter upon the work of the teacher. The question of how to obtain a knowledge of God is to all a life and death question. Read Christ's prayer to his Father, intended not merely as an important lesson in education for the disciples, but to come down through all time for the benefit of those who should read the inspired writings. Father, he prayed, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Christ promised his disciples that he would send them the Holy Spirit, who would bring all these things to their remembrance. All those who render obedience to God's commands will be given free access to Eden restored and to the tree of life. He who is the fountain of all knowledge has stated the condition of our fitness to enter the heaven of bliss, in the words, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. E. G. White.